This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're talking about the Red Sea and life's greatest privilege.
Plus, the parenting place is back with parenting tips. And of course, we're celebrating independence.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we're so glad you have chosen to join us today. And today, it's not just any ordinary day, it's Independence Day morning.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Today is the 4th of July. Ooh. Happy 4th of July to you and yours as we celebrate Independence Day in the United States. Today, we hope that you will enjoy extra quality time celebrating with your loved ones.
That's right. You know, maybe tonight we can see some fireworks.
I love
seeing fireworks. We'll have to find out where they are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, it's a highlight of the year. You know, and we truly hope you experience the true independence and freedom Jesus gives. Not just today, friends, but every day of the year.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just Independence Day in that sense. Did you know that
I didn't.
Today is also International Independence from Meat Day? Very interesting. More and more people around the world are becoming vegetarian and vegan. And for good reason, friends. A meatless or limited meat diet has increased benefits for health and the environment.
Hmm. So how can you celebrate? Well, choose a day this week. It doesn't have to be today, but you can choose a day this week to live like a vegetarian or vegan.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. You just might find out that it's not so bad or so hard after all.
I can attest to that because I've been a vegetarian my whole life.
Yep. And ever since I met you, I've been celebrating independence from meat every day.
Because you love my vegetarian cooking.
I do. So let's get started by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On July 4, 1776, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Continental Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence, which proclaimed the independence of the United States of America from Great Britain and its king. 4th of July, Independence Day. It's a well-recognized and loved holiday here in America, and for good reason. Before becoming independent, America was under the rule of Great Britain and endured many things they considered unfair, such as tax laws and rules that were meant to benefit Britain. It can easily remind us of the story of the Hebrews when they were slaves in Egypt.
And it didn't start that way, but eventually they were seen as a threat to Egyptian rule and power, and they were made slaves. However, God promised that eventually he would free them, and they would have their own land, serving him, the most loving master they could have. The same is true about us, friends. God promises to free us from this world of sin and suffering. And as we stay faithful to him, he encourages us to endure, to hold on till the end. His promises will be fulfilled. And just like the Hebrews eventually reach Canaan, we too will eventually reach the heavenly promised land.
I can't wait for that day. Well, this morning, Taj Pakleb is taking us on a journey to the Red Sea as he shares a powerful life lesson.
Bordering the Indian Ocean, between Northeast Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, lies an ancient body of water known as a place of deliverance. It is one of the busiest waterways in the world. Ships of all sizes, loaded with cargo, are often seen in the distance, silently gliding through the water, delivering commerce to this ancient land. It is a narrow sea, only 190 miles wide at its widest point. The air here is hot and humid, but the water is warm and inviting. For humans, there's a natural draw to water, especially in an arid desert climate like this. Not only is it necessary for survival, but there's something about water that beckons us to hop in, splash around, and immerse ourselves. The Red Sea has some of the hottest and saltiest water in the world. This is due in part to the evaporation by the hot desert sun and the low amount of rainfall it receives each year. Its famous high salt content contributes to incredibly clear waters, making it a true paradise for explorers. The Red Sea is a place of refreshment for swimmers, wind and kite surfers, and divers like me. Going beneath the surface and penetrating the depths of this body of water is truly a breathtaking experience. The Red Sea is a special chapter in the book of nature that demonstrates the creativity and skill of the divine author and the heavenly creator. So many creatures, so many colors, so many designs to admire and lessons to learn. After exploring these wonderful waters this past week, deliverance is the lesson that stands out the most to me. You see, the Red Sea brings renewal and refreshment. It is a place of deliverance from the burning heat. Today, many find relief from the hot desert sun in the cool, clear waters of the Red Sea. In the same way that people find relief and rejuvenation in the Red Sea today, thousands of years ago, God's people also found renewal and deliverance in these same waters. Recorded in the book of Exodus, the Bible tells how God miraculously delivered the children of Israel from the enemy, the Pharaoh and the Egyptians. With the pursuing army behind them and the impassable Red Sea before, the Israelites were certain that their doom was sealed. But God parted the waters of the Red Sea. He is the one that makes a way out of no way. And Moses and the Israelites walked across it on dry land. It was their passageway to freedom, a birth canal to new life and a new beginning, a way of liberation to a place where they would no longer be in bondage. No more would they serve the oppressor. And what God did for them way back then, He will truly do for us today. My friend, are you in bondage? Perhaps a slave to the will of the enemy? Captive to the call of your own sinful flesh? Are you being pursued by the regrets of the past? Overwhelmed by the uncertainties of the future? Then come to the Red Sea of Jesus' blood, where deliverance and renewal is found. Jesus said that when we know the truth will make us free. And here's the truth. The divine deliverer came from the heavenly promised land to the Egypt of our world. He came to experience our oppression firsthand. He has borne all our affliction upon Himself, and He has shed His precious blood for our sins. And now He desires to wash us in the Red Sea of His blood, to immerse us in the waters of His grace. For this is where freedom and deliverance is found. So follow the path that God has opened for you. Despite your fears, move forward in faith. Do not be afraid of the enemies behind you, nor of the obstacles before you. Just move forward in faith and see the salvation of the Lord. After living on the Red Sea this past week, I've experienced physical, mental, and spiritual renewal. Going through these same waters and remembering what happened here thousands of years ago has rejuvenated my spirit and refreshed my soul. My friends, you may never be able to come and explore the Red Sea here in Egypt, but did you know that there's another one that you can make it to? But this sea isn't found on the earth, and it's definitely not located in the desert. The book of Revelation describes this sea as the sea of glass mingled with fire. The fiery Red Sea of glass, reflecting the fire of God's glorious presence, is the ultimate symbol of final deliverance. And it is on that shore of this incredible sea that God's people will stand victorious in final deliverance. No more affliction, no more oppression. And let us pray that we shall all meet on that beautiful shore.
Have you ever wondered what life's greatest privilege is? We're deciphering it on today's episode of Bible and Christian Living.
One in three women are going to experience some form of psychological or physical abuse at the hands of their partner throughout their lifetime. Even more frightening than that is that 14 women, 6 men, and 10 children are going to die as a result of an incident of domestic violence. And then there are our police force. They're called to 200 incidents of domestic violence a day. That's one every 7 minutes. And the most frightening of all, get this, the police estimate that only 18% of domestic violence incidents are actually reported. one of those people that have the privilege of enjoying a marriage that is completely contented, completely fulfilled, free of any sort of violence or abuse. Cherish it, relish it, and count your blessings, because many are not in that privileged position. There's an interesting example in Scripture, in the Bible, that's just, it captures my imagination, because it's the idea that Jesus so loved His church that He laid down His life to spare her, to save her, to restore her. You know, it's like the picture of what love really is, the willingness to forget oneself in order to reach out to the other. And I think to myself, isn't that what marriage is supposed to be like? Isn't that, in fact, the epitome, the ideal for a healthy, happy, flourishing marriage? That's, in fact, what that scripture says. It asks husbands to love their wives in that kind of self-sacrificing way, which is totally countercultural when you think about it, because everything in our culture, in our society, is about the me generation, about how I can obtain greatest fulfillment and enjoyment and pleasure and the like. Our culture is that men are strong and men take and men do. And actually, Scripture comes along and says, you want a marriage that works? You want a marriage that thrives? You want a marriage where people are happy, contented, and fulfilled? It's going to look different. It's going to be where a man is a man based on his willingness to lay down his life, to bless, to serve, to nurture, to protect, to save. What would our marriages look like if this was the estimate of manhood that we strove to attain to? How would our marriages and our homes be different? Because I'm thinking there'd be less abuse. I'm thinking there would be less selfishness. I'm thinking there would be greater contentment, fulfillment. I'm thinking our women, our wives, would feel protected and nurtured, that they may even begin to come into their own and to blossom. I'm thinking that marriages could be very different, that our families here in New Zealand would be profoundly, positively impacted by men who step forward and say, no more using my strength for me, but I'm going to use my strength to love, to lay down my life, to sacrifice for my wife, for my children, for my family. That's the picture of Jesus. That's what families are supposed to be just a small taste of experientially. What a different picture. So what about you today? What do you say? Are you willing to give this new picture a go in your family?
As a parent, we often struggle with finding just the right parenting style. But does that even exist? Mm. You know, the Parenting Place is joining us now to talk about parenting that fits.
Look at my mouth, it's all empty.
You ate all the raspberries. Hey, Harley, I'm making a little video.
Yes.
You just sit here for a minute, okay? One of the fascinating but infuriating things about this whole parenting business is that unlike Lycra, go with me here, there's no one-size-fits-all set of parenting techniques. An idea that works brilliantly in one home might fail miserably in another. The tools and strategies we give you will work even better when you fine-tune them to suit your unique children and their own personalities. We can provide the talcum powder and Lycra, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to be the one to put it on. You know what, let's just leave this whole Lycra analogy behind and move on to something a little more comfortable. For a long time, I really did think that parents shaped their kids. They were cute, innocent molds of clay waiting for us to turn them into something. I figured we sort of coached and mentored and disciplined them into the adults that they would eventually become. I now wonder if that's actually correct. You know, I look at my own family. My parents nurtured me and my brothers exactly the same way, but one loved music, one was obsessed with sport, and the other, he just loved the sound of his own voice. What did you find?
A
caterpillar. Oh, is that a good one or a bad one?
A good one.
Is that a good one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see my role as a parent more like a gardener than a craftsman. I've been given a packet of seeds, but these seeds aren't labelled. I've planted them and nurtured them, but it's only after a while that I start to see what seeds I actually have, what's coming up. In your family, you might have some beans, some corn, some watermelon, some pumpkins, I don't know. When you know what you're growing, only then can you start to cultivate them appropriately in a way that makes sense to each one of your kids. Staking the tomatoes, training the vines, lifting the rhubarb, you get the gist. The gardener is important, but you can't turn a marrow into